Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dr. Pat Allen, and I'm here on LA Talk Radio, and I'm here to serve you, whoever you are. I'm a marriage, family, child psychotherapist in LA and Orange County, two offices. I am a transactional analyst. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. In the bank, making money. In the doctor's office, being healthy. And in every single relationship you have, in your private life as well as your business life. I am a cognitive behavioral therapist. Beware of your thoughts, words, habits, feelings. I'm sure you may not know this. Feelings and emotions are not negotiable other than drugs, meds, and being dead. So I like to help people negotiate, not intimidate, not seduce each other. And if you've got a problem at work or at home, I would love to help you communicate. Do you know that 90% of all communication is nonverbal? It's tones of voice, gestures, postures, the fairy bird, you know. Tones, gestures, postures, and facial expressions. But you can't negotiate with those. Those are built to intimidate and seduce people. I want you to learn how, with my tools, I have tools that will help you. My doctoral work is androgynous semantic realignment. Now, how many of you out there are androgynous? All of you. The Chinese had it down really cool. Quantum physics, yin and yang, that black and white design, that beautiful image of the black mater, male, female, yin energy with the little white circle, little dot, that little circle represented that woman's animus, her masculine. And then on the other side of it, you saw a white comma with a little black dot. That's yang. Men have yang bodies, but they have yin souls, the anima. So there are really four entities in every relationship, and that makes waltzing difficult. But I teach waltzing with words in communication rather than slam dancing or just discoing. Do you ever notice on a disco that you can't even tell who people are dancing with? And in a slam dance, which sometimes is popular, slam dancing, people are squishing each other. So if you've got an issue, I want to talk to you because that's what I do. And if you have a relationship issue, straight, gay, or lesbian, you know, there are more women today with penises than ever before. Have you noticed that? And there are more men today with vaginas than ever before. So I deal with physical differences in men and women. I deal with emotional differences. I deal with change of life issues, the over 40 relationship, the under 50 relationship. I deal with whatever you're willing to bring up on any level. I'm a sex and alcohol addiction specialist, Harvard University Medical School of Addictions. So wherever one is, the other one often goes. Sex and using mind-altering chemicals. So if you have an addiction issue, if you have a sexual issue, if you have a communication issue, I'm your woman and your man. So with that in mind, call in, because I'm waiting for you. Hello.
Dr. Pat, can you tell us a little bit more about your doctoral work?
Oh, my doctoral work, I'm really at temperament. I'm a artist and a musician. I'm not necessarily born to be a therapist. I became a therapist when my marriage fell apart, and I happened to have the marvelous fortune of going to Cal State Fullerton under the supervision of Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey, who were the people that wrote Please Understand Me and Please Understand Me Too, which is a Myers-Briggs. And that was a place where I started getting interested, not in emotive therapy, but behavioral therapy, and especially communication. So I dropped out of my doctoral work in art. My dissertation was going to be the effect of artificial illumination on kinesthetic objects. Now, what that meant was I was painting pictures with resin on plastic, movable, rotating beer signs, because you know how it was back in the 60s. I'm not really a hippie person. I was a little late for that. So I switched from that to becoming a marriage, family, child therapist. So I wrote Androgynous Semantic Realignment, and I then trademarked it as WANT training. People say, well, what does WANT mean? And I said, it means WANT, how to ask for what you want and how to say no to what you don't want with respect and cherishing. And that could be in marriages, families, kids, wherever it is, at work. I worked for a company that was dealing specifically with executives. And I worked for them for at least 10 years. They were called Tech, and then they became Vistage. And so I worked with both private relationship issues and business issues. And now I've written a number of books, Getting to I Do, Staying Married and Loving It. The Getting to I Do is still on the stands, because people love to think about getting married or mated. The one called Staying Married and Loving It, not as popular. People want to get married more than they want to stay married, which is kind of sad. I'd like to help them stay married as well. So my books are things like I've written Conversational Rape. That was an overview of my doctoral work. And I've written with Don Schmenke, The Truth About Men Will Set You Off, but first it will tick you off. And then we have some other words that go in there, but we'll leave them off.
We have a caller for you.
Okay. Hello.
Yes, hi. I'm calling to ask a question to Dr. Pat Allen.
This is Pat Allen, and where are you from?
I am calling from Florida.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate this. What do you want to ask me, please?
Yes, I wanted to ask, I've read your books and I really admire you, by the way. And I want to find out, when a guy is, guys try to kind of get you to go to their home to, sleep with you, basically.
I don't mind if they want to get you home, and I don't mind if they want to sleep with you. It's having intercourse with you that I have a little problem is with that. So are we talking about intercourse problems?
Yes, so they basically want to have sex. So I basically just told them I'm not going to sleep with you unless I have a ring on my finger, but they barely know me, so I feel like that scares them away. Is that the right approach? Should I be that aggressive from the beginning?
Here's what you say to them. when they ask to make love to you or to have sex with you, like I said, there's no problem with me, for me, if you choose to cuddle up and sleep with them. It's what you do. And sex is everything you taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. Intercourse is special. When we're under menopause, premenopausal, we bond to them. They don't bond to us until they're post-andropause. That's down in their 50s and 60s. So here's what you would say to a man who's... How old is this man, by the way?
I'm sorry?
How old is this gentleman?
He's 40.
He's 40. That's a little young. He's on testosterone, and he would love to have sex with you. So the first thing you say when he says anything like that is, thank you for being attracted to me. Give him a stroke. Then say,
okay.
Are you really ready to be monogamous? Are you truly ready to be in a continual relationship where you and I see each other exclusively? And are you aiming towards marriage? Because I am. What would he say if you said that?
I think he will probably say he's not ready.
And then you would say, great, then why don't we have dinner, play tennis, cuddle, kiss, and make love without intercourse until you and I are both ready to decide if we're going the long route towards mating, which is marriage without a document, and marriage, which is mating with the document. So if a man asks you so early in your dating life, ask him if he really is ready for that kind of a commitment, and he will understand that you are not cheap.
Okay, I think I was trying to basically do that, but maybe I was being just a little too defensive and just saying, no, I'm not going to sleep with you.
Yeah, no, what I want you to say is thank you for asking. You know, they're making love to each other more than they're making love to a lot of women. So we really don't want to insult them for wanting to make love to us. We say thank you. And then we say, are you ready for a serious relationship? Because I am. But I'd love to go to movies, ball games. I'd love to play with you sexually, but not intercourse. And that's oral, anal, and vaginal.
Okay. Good. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So go ahead, Dr. Pat. You were talking to us about some of your books.
Yes.
So you were talking about Conversational Rape, which I think is a great book, one of my favorites. We'd love to hear you go ahead and talk some more while we're waiting for callers.
Okay. Well, conversational rape starts in the uterus and ends up in the grave. So I take each age, each stage in life, and I demonstrate how we rape each other. Gee, your hair looks nice today. What did I say to you under the covers? I said, it normally looks lousy. You have become so nice lately. Oh, yeah? What did I say? I said, you're normally a jerk. So conversational rape is what you do when you don't mean what you say and you don't say what you mean. So by manipulating the quantum mechanics of words, I impact the quantum physics of energy. And that is what love is all about. You know, we need four things to be good communicators. Like I was just talking to the darling lady from Florida. She said something, but it was as if she was insulted by the gentleman that asked to have sex or to make love to her. He was just doing his man thing. Thank God. Do you see? If she had known that, number one, you can't be evasive when you're communicating. Someday I'll have sex with you. That looks like 40,000 miles down the road. rather than, are you ready to be monogamous, continuous, and long-term?
Or, we have another caller, Dr. Pat.
Oh, okay. Hello?
Hi, Pat.
Hi. You sound like you know me.
I do.
Oh, okay. Do you want to give your
so
first...
Okay, so I have a question.
What's your question?
Okay, my question is I met a guy online,
you
and I really
him?
Like him.
Wait a minute. You met him? You talked first? Or
no,
he
talked
you?
First. He
then
talked first.
Here's
he
how
wrote,
I
he
want
messaged
you to
me.
Say it. A man approached me on the internet because it's
correct.
Masculine. If you want to be a man, you can do it, but I want to check to see if you're doing it. Do you want to be cherished or respected?
I want to be cherished.
All right, then here's how you would say it. A man approached me on the internet. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, a man what?
A man approached me.
Correct.
He came
correct.
Towards me. He was the sperm, I was the egg. So he
correct.
Approached you, and what, pray tell, did he say?
Asked me about a float that I've done in the river. I mean, just he didn't ask me basic questions. He asked me something that no one else has asked to be different than the rest.
Oh, that's good. And so,
I mean, and I've met him, and things are going really good. But I don't want to take my profile off Match because he has not asked me to be exclusive.
You're absolutely right.
Right.
Now,
okay.
Here's what you do. Premature monogamy is really bad for women. We meet them,
right.
And before we're done with salad, we're already picking out the dress in our head. Because if you're
okay.
young, and you sound young, how old are you?
I'm 23.
You're very young. You are gushing oxytocin, which means the super glue of love is flowing freely when you meet somebody you are chemically attracted to. Are you chemically attracted to this gentleman?
Yeah, and we also have a lot of things in common, so it makes
so
it really...
you're compatible. Well, then I'm going to teach you how to communicate. So I want you not to be monogamous socially. I want you to date three men with him number one. Do you see?
He is.
Oh, he is number one, and he's asking you out. And when men say, are you dating other people? And you say, of course, aren't you? I'm not in a committed relationship with anyone, but I want to be. Do you want to be in one? What would he say if you said that?
I don't know. He hasn't been in a relationship in a really long time.
I got it. But has he asked you to stop dating?
No.
No.
He said if it came to me dating someone else more than once, then we would talk about it.
Okay. So he's dated you how many times?
We've gone out three times now.
Three times, and you have chemistry. Because I ask people, men and women, to date three separate people three times each until you call down the person you really feel good with. Premature monogamy is not good, especially for young women. Okay?
Okay.
Now, you're really dating. You're not duty dating, are you?
I watch duty dating. I'm trying to date three guys. It's just hard. I go to school, so...
Okay.
I'm trying. I've been asked out on dates, but most of them have been really, really bad.
They've been
and so I'm kind of afraid. I'm afraid to go out and have men be like, you know,
what?
Kind of not really willing to. I don't really know what they're looking for. I get just real nervous when I go out with them. Like, is this they expect me to pay all the time, or maybe I'm just used to dating jerks? I don't know. I just I kind of have a wall that I put up, and it's really hard to break it down. Like, I expect them to fail.
Okay. That means that you put out a negative vibe. Remember, there are etiquette rules for dating, and one of them is Is it your date or is it his date? Is it a duty date, which is just practice dating and not much chemistry? Or is it a real date where you do have chemistry and it makes us very, very nervous? Now, if you invited him out because you want to be the respected one, you pay for the date. It's your date. Excuse me. It's your date. If he asked you to go out, then it's his date. And you don't even bring your money.
You see? Okay. Okay.
And remember what I said, if you listen to the lady from Florida, if he asks to come home and sleep with you, if you're comfortable, do it. And if you're not, don't do it. But watch out for having intercourse without monogamy, continuity, and long-term goals compatibility. Okay?
Okay. I understand. Thank you.
You're welcome. Call again.
Thank you, caller. Dr. Pat.
What?
That leads us to a great question.
What is that?
Duty dating, it's your term. It's your thing. And it's been pretty
controversial. I trademarked it.
Yes. It's been pretty controversially received. Tell us your thoughts on it. What is it?
Okay. I don't know how many people are out there listening right now. Have you ever noticed that when you are not chemically attracted to somebody, you don't boo-boo. You're smart and smooth and cool. But when you're attracted to somebody, your feet both go in your mouth at the same time. So in order to be ready to be with somebody you're chemically attracted to and nervous with, you would do well to practice. One of my clients, Cherry Norris, made a movie. And you can actually check with the office. She will hook up a link to your computer if you want to see it. It's called Duty Dating. And she was a student, and she married a man by practicing my tools. And so duty dating is desensitizing your anxiety about, do I pay, don't I pay? What do I do? Do I pick out the table? Do I walk in front of? Do I stand outside the door? It's the etiquette of dating today, you see? And so duty dating doesn't have chemistry for you at the beginning. It may have chemistry for the man or woman you're with. This is everything I'm saying. I'm referring also to men to date three people. You see, they often do it anyway, because that's the way men are. We women have a tendency to go prematurely monogamous when we're chemically. But then we make a mistake when we are so repelled by not having chemistry that we don't socially accept invitations to do things, go places, because we think we have to have chemistry to date. You don't. But here's what I say. If you don't have chemistry at the end of the third date and he asks for a fourth date, I want you, like a lady, to say, thank you so much for the dates we've had. They were pleasant, but I don't have the romantic chemistry that I need, and I'm sure you would need from me, to have more of a romantic relationship. And I don't want to use you, and I don't want to lead you on. So if you choose to date me as a friend, I would be most honored to date you as a friend. But I don't want you at this time to date me if you're hoping that I will be romantic.
That title, Duty Dating, is available at your One Eye store. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
And what about...
Everything's available there.
Excellent. And that's www.wanteyestore.com.
Yes.
If we wanted to
Isn't
know more...
Isn't it .org?
No.
It's .com.
It's .com. Okay. www.wantinstitute.org.
I got it.
And www.drpatallen.com.
That's so, where a lot of stuff is.
Of course. And of course, you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, and you're on Google+. So lots of information comes through those sites. So if anybody has any questions about the books that Dr. Pat has out or any other thing like that, you can find them at those websites. Dr. Pat.
Yes.
You say men do this naturally, more naturally than women do.
Well, men have a tendency to go after what they want.
Do you think it's genetic, their DNA?
It's neurobiological. Men that have been, remember, I want to say something. All fetuses start out female. All, everybody. And for 8 weeks, during that 8 weeks period, mother notices that there's a Y chromosome. And that goes, she goes, ah! Her body goes, ah! And she starts co-creating a male body in those first 8 weeks. Now, sometimes she will spot the Y. You know, a mother who's had a lot of boys, often her body doesn't react too badly, too much to that Y, and she will end up shorting a boy out of the androgynous, you know, androgen that will convert him. And that boy may end up with a girl's body and definitely a girl's brain. And that could make him a naturally gay man. And what's really fascinating about that is when he makes love with the man, he's avoiding homosexuality because his brain is female. Is that a wild idea?
That is an amazing idea.
Do you know what a cortisone hypoplasic adrenalized female is?
I do not.
That's a girl whose mother accidentally believed she saw the Y chromosome, and it wasn't there. It was two X's. But she gave that little girl a shot or two. And those shots can tilt the girl's brain to masculine so that she will be a natural lesbian woman.
Okay, that's very interesting. So she'll be a natural lesbian woman. What about women who have a supercharged sex drive?
They very often are wounded women. Here's something that I learned from Patrick Carnes when I was studying sexual addiction. You know, I learned that if a poor little girl before her first period is sexually stimulated or molested in some way, her body, because of the dopamine that is created with sex, dopamine is a real high. Cocaine gives it to you. Sex gives it to you. Winning the lottery gives it to you. Do you see?
Yes.
So if a girl is inappropriately stimulated before her first period, which stabilizes her chemically, she will develop more receptors for dopamine than a normal girl. So those receptors scream for dopamine, just like cocaine addicts. The best cocaine shot you're going to have is the first one, because as soon as you have the first one, your body's going to say, next time, let's have two and four. And pretty soon, you've stolen grandma's big flat-faced TV set. Do you see? Anyway.
Yes, I got that. I understand that.
Okay.
So it really is a kind of addiction. We have another caller.
Wait, it's broken. Her brain is broken.
We got
and so I
you.
Teach her to be committable and not to have casual sex.
Okay. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air with Dr. Pat.
Hello. Hi. You're out there.
Do we lose our caller? Hello, caller. Are you there? Okay, we lost them. Perhaps they'll call back. So it's an addictive personality
type. Here's what happens. When she's sexually stimulated, all of those receptors start screaming for dopamine. And that makes her promiscuous. That makes her like a horn dog. And you know what happens? I've dealt with two of those ladies today in my office. They are so sexual, they scare the men they're with.
Yep. Hold on, Pat. We have another caller. Hi, caller.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Pat.
I'm just listening to Dr. Pat now.
Hello. This is Dr. Pat Allen.
I'm sorry.
What are you sorry for?
I didn't hear you.
I'm Pat Allen. What can I do for you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Oh, okay. I'm listening to you at the same time on your radio.
You gotta turn down your mechanism.
I did turn it down. Okay.
Okay, what can I do for you?
Okay, well, Dr. Allen, I've been to your seminar.
Wait a minute. I'm Patricia. I'm Pat Allen. Did you say Dexter?
No, I said doctor.
I said Dr. Pat. I thought I heard Dexter, but that's okay.
No, that's all right. So I am 76, and I know you're an older
80.
Woman myself. And
Yoo-hoo.
Did you
hear what I said?
Yes, you are 80, you said.
Yes, but I'm young and immature.
Young and immature. I think that I might be young and immature, too.
Lucky us.
I still have, I don't think I was ever sexually molested, but I still would like to have sexual relations with somebody.
I'm not talking about having normal sexual relations. A woman that's molested, she often, because she's defending herself, will be sexually anorexic. She will not want sex at all. She'll either be anorexic or she'll be bulimic, and she will want men to go away. So, have you a boyfriend now?
No, I don't, no.
When was the last time you had a boyfriend?
Oh, I can't remember. Years ago. To have a boyfriend that I was actually, you know, attracted to and loving and having, you know,
no,
sex,
darling,
you know,
it's,
sex play with
it's
at least.
When they're attracted to us. I like it when men love us more than we love them. They treat us better. I have a boyfriend.
Well,
he's 85.
He's what?
85.
I'm a younger
woman. What?
I think about that. That's why I... Because you are... You know, you were able to get into a loving relationship. I say, well, why not me, since I still have a desire.
You? Where do you hunt for men? Do you dance?
No, mostly on the, I'm most recently on OkCupid.
Okay, what about Our Time? That's for the older person.
I was on Our Time, and
what happened?
I didn't get very many responses that I felt that I was really, you know, wanting to engage with by so many people. I did meet a few people. But nobody that I did go out, I just actually going out once with them, I pretty much felt that I did not want to go out a second
Are
time.
Are you picking with your eyes or your ears?
Not with my eyes. I just, and sometimes maybe it is with my eyes. I remember meeting somebody who I thought was a nice person. I liked the person, but I definitely had no chemistry at all, not on the first date. And on the second, not either.
I want you to hear this. It is better for you to duty date continually because it keeps you in the ball game. When the man
to keep me in the ball game. Mm-hmm.
See, what you're doing is you're going anorexic sexually. You're not even playing the game. I want you to go dancing, go to coffee after church, go to Starbucks, look them in the eyes and flirt, smile at them, because you need the strokes, the attention. We all do. Yes, you want a relationship, But in the meantime, I don't know if you remember way back when the word cotillion. Do you remember what a cotillion was?
No, I don't.
A cotillion was a social dance event that parents sent their children to teach them how to be socially adequate. To me, that's duty dating.
I really understand what you're saying. I really understand.
Are you and willing?
I'm willing to do that.
Are you willing to do it once a week?
Yes, I am willing to do it once a week, yes.
Okay, then I'll wager that within 2 to 4 months, you will have 2 or 3 gentlemen that may be companion dates, but the energy that it brings out in you will make you, men absolutely intuitively know a woman who's flirtatious and sexually available. They know it because dating is stroking. It's good for our ego, and it's good for our laughter, and it's good for our dancing. I really want you to join me. I know you're a young one, and I'm a little older, but I've learned this secret. You've got to be in the game to be ready to win the game.
Right. Yes. I haven't done anything yet I have had no invitations for a date, but I have had men just wanting to, they ask me for my phone number over the phone.
Then please give
Over the internet. They just say, give me your phone number, you know.
You want to know something? Have a phone that is separate or an answering service that has no connection with your home that allows you to be safe. Do you see what I mean?
I do see what you mean. Interesting. So, That's a good idea.
Yes. I want you to safely take all invitations seriously and do what you can to socialize with 3 men for at least 3 dates and upgrade as you go. Join the world.
Okay.
Come on out.
I know what you're saying. I understand it. I have to be willing. I have to be playing the game before I can
win the game.
Join the world.
That's right. Okay?
Yes.
Good.
Okay. Very good.
Give us a call when you start practicing and meet your man.
I will definitely do that.
Good.
Thanks,
girl.
Pat.
You're welcome.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, caller. So, Dr. Pat, that's an interesting thing. All my girlfriends have the same complaint. Where do we look for a man?
Okay. You go where you smile. If you like going to art exhibits and you will smile, men will be attracted to your happiness. Only men that like to take care of broken women are attracted to sad women. Men who are healthy want companionship. They want friendship. Sexual compatibility may be there, but companionship is very valuable. So they want companionship. They want conversation. Do you see? So my suggestion is don't limit your dating to just finding your husband. You know, find a companion, somebody to go to the movies with. Have a cup of tea with and practice. Where you smile, if you smile in Starbucks, go to Starbucks. If you smile watching volleyball on the beach, go there.
You know what? You also said something to one of our callers earlier about who approached who. Now, that's a really interesting concept, especially with the advent of internet dating or internet meeting to
yes.
date. So what happens if you're on the internet and you see a guy that piques your interest, but...
You wink, blink, or punch the like button. You let him know. That's called presentations. you've got to present yourself once so that he has an option.
Okay, great. And I also heard you tell people at your show.
Yes.
About the 5-second flirt. Can you elaborate for
me? You see, the eyes are the window of the soul. And remember, the soul of a man is very, very, very sensitive. And the soul of a woman is very, very, very strong. So women who are not practicing being women don't like to look in the eyes because they're too shy, because they don't feel comfortable out of control. So my want is that men and women look each other in the eye. Computers are nice and dating on the computer, that's fine. But I want people to go someplace and start flirting eyeball to eyeball. And 3 seconds is normal, 1,000, 2,000, 3, down. Married people can do that. Nuns do that. But if you want to signal presentation, you stay for 5 seconds. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. But while you do that, smile when you get to 4 and 5.
Okay.
Do you see? And what's the reason for that? Because somebody said to me once, well, won't that make him think that you want sex? And I said, if you're lucky...
What do you really think it signals? I mean, obviously, do you think it means, you know, does he think it means you want to have sex? What does it really mean? What is it saying, Dr. Pat?
What it really says is, I'm interested in you, I'm attracted to you, and I'm not going to speak first. So if you're a man, you're going to have to ask me. You're going to have to put your feet in your mouth and say something. Nice day, isn't it? Or if you meet him in a grocery store, good chicken today. I don't care what you say. It's the speaking that counts.
Right. And so you were talking about who approached who. So would you do the flirt, the 5-second flirt, and then you don't approach as a female. What do? You stand there or do you just wander off?
What you do is you stand there and look in the eyes and watch the men look away. Those are shy men or men that are not interested in you, mm-hmm. because it's a matter of statistics.
But we don't speak first. If we're...
Cherishable people don't speak first. Now, what's really interesting, you go to a dance and there's a man you're attracted to and he's over there at a table and you're over here at a table. You look at him and he looks at you and you both smile. That's two girls with different bodies waiting for somebody to be a man.
Very interesting. So that's just those two people.
They
find each other physically attractive, but they're just like star-crossed.
No one will take responsibility. On the other hand, with the new style of sexuality, your place or mine, you know, the hooking up business, in that situation, very often, when a woman thinks that she has the same balanced right to approach a man, right?
Right.
She'll approach him and he'll say, great. And they may even hook up and have sex. But the problem is, it's too equal. There's no waltzing value there. Do you see?
So you can't have two people leading the dance.
You can't have two people competing for leadership.
Right.
And you can't have two people waiting for leadership.
Now, you also say that too much time together destroys intimacy. What do you mean by that?
Oxytocin, like...
And I know you're not speaking only of a marriage contract, which we, of course, know is a contract, but contracts...
I'm talking about you don't have intercourse without a mutual agreement that you're monogamous sexually and socially, you are going to the same place, you're both single and going to the same place, and you're going to be able to see each other on a regular basis, whatever that basis is. Those are the contracts for pre-sexual behavior.
And then you're in a relationship, and he's throwing things down on the floor and she's leaving the cap off the toothpaste.
Well, see, I have a business. In my book, Getting to I Do, there's a chapter on negotiating. Pre-engagement negotiating is basically for monogamy, continuity, and longevity. But premarital negotiation is time, space, money, and play, non-sexual and sexual. That's where you negotiate the boundaries, what you want and what you don't want from your mate. You see?
I do see.
And that allows you, then, I like people to practice for 2 months, abiding by the contract that they've created.
So then, contract renegotiation at that point. Oh, we have a caller. Dr. Pat, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Pat.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Pat. Big fan. I love you. I'm a millionaire matchmaker.
Oh, okay.
Well, I hear with the other callers the discussion about cherishing and the respectable one. What does that look like in a relationship?
It looks like he says to you, I want to do this. How do you feel about it? And you say to him, I feel good about it, or I don't feel good about it. So basically it's you ask him, what do you think about doing this? And what can I do to help us do it? It's the way you communicate.
If you it's the communication. Okay.
Yeah. If you want to be cherished, you've got to respect him. If he wants to be respected, he's got to cherish you.
Okay, great.
Okay.
And they cherish by taking care of your feelings and...
By checking
giving
your
you
feelings. Well, they can cherish you concretely. That's courtship. That's presence. Mm-hmm. They can cherish you by dating you, making love to you, communicating with you. They tell you what they want, and then they ask you how you feel about it. They want to teach you something. They say, I have something to teach you. Are you open to listening to me? God willing, you say yes. Because to say no means I don't respect you and I don't want to do what you say.
Right. And can I ask one more question?
Sure, I think.
Yeah. The reason for when you advise women not to have intercourse before there's a commitment.
Yes.
Because a lot of women, it seems like a lot of our friends, we struggle with that. What are the reasons that a woman really, it's better for her to have a commitment before getting into intercourse?
If she's under 50, she runs the risk of bonding physically, which is an addiction, which takes 2 years to get over. If she's over 50, she basically is exposing herself to being used by oftentimes a younger man. You know, Benjamin Franklin wrote a letter to his son and he said, you know what, you should really marry an older woman. Yeah, what's above the waist is kind of hanging, but what's below the waist is relatively similar. So he was, and he said, and they so appreciate you making love to them when they're older. So, and Jules, here's what Jules Michelet said. There is no such thing as an older woman. If a woman is good, virtuous, if she knows how to love a man with respect, he reaches the infinite through her. Isn't that beautiful? He's from the 1800s.
That's amazing.
I know it. But I'll tell you something. If you're easy to get in the rack, he's going to be worried that he's going to get easy getting you into the rack.
Right.
Got it?
So he won't think about you seriously and you get attacked. So
that's right. There's the issue.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, you Dr. Pat.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, caller. Dr. Pat, we're about at the end of time.
I want to summarize. It's been a really fun first shot at the show. I hope that there are people out there that listened, that didn't call in, but benefited by what happened between the people that did call in. I'm going to be on this station doing this thing from 7 to 8 every Friday night, God willing. So with that in mind, please Remember, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Thank you. And for further information, you can go to www.drpatallen.com, www.wantistore.com, and find us on Facebook.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.